Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Ooh, fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penny.
Morena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Zoot Suits is our kaupapa today.
Yes.
I don't know what a zoot suit is, to be honest.
Oh, I can explain what it is. But it's also, there were riots about zoot suits. So I thought, because last week, you know, we spoke about the nylon riots.
Yes.
So I was really interested to find out whether there were any other riots. And this one is particularly bad. But I'll start at the beginning with what a zoot suit is. So it kind of originated in the mid to late 1930s in mostly African-American communities. Some say Harlem, some say kind of other areas. One kind of source says that it was inspired by the English drape suits of the Duke of Windsor, who was formerly Edward VIII. Mm. If you don't know him, he abdicated to marry Wallis Simpson, who was a twice divorcee, and the English crown wasn't happy about that, sort of a monarchy. So he popularised a style that featured soft shoulders, tapered waist, created a powerful silhouette, which was in contrast to the kind of rigid military suits of the time, the tailoring.
Yeah.
And young jazz musicians and dancers exaggerated the style so they could achieve kind of fluid movement when they were doing the jive and, you know, all kind of swing dances and things like that.
Mm.
So the zoot suit featured a distinctive and flamboyant silhouette, which was contrary to 1930s modesty and wartime rationing. So the jacket was knee length, oversized with large shoulder pads and lapels. It had high-waisted trousers and balloon legs that tapered at the ankles. And this was often kind of paired up with a wide-brimmed fedora, two-toned spectator shoes, and long pocket chains, which kind of like exaggerated the masculine V shape, which was, you know, considered to be the ideal shape of a man, you know, with the broad shoulders and then tapering in. The kind of most recent, well, kind of most famous one I can think of is The Mask and Jim Carrey, and I think he wears a yellow.
Yeah.
That
movie scared me so much as a kid. I never again. Yeah.
There's actually an earlier movie that's much better that I think it's based off. That's pretty funny. So the term zoot kind of emerged from the rhyming kind of bebop jive, because zoot rhymed with suit. And as swing and jazz scenes kind of swept the nation, the style travelled to different cities. Famous people of the time were like Cab Calloway, Count Basie, and Dizzy Gillespie wore them. Mm. And in Southern and West California, it was an enthusiastic kind of adopted by both Filipino Americans and Mexican American youths. And it became kind of a real symbol of individuality and cultural identity for them. But this kind of became an issue because during World War II, basically when all the US kind of men went off to be involved in the war, there was a lack of workers in the agricultural and service sector. So they the US made a deal with Mexico to have temporary workers come over and, you know, work in the US to help out. And a lot of white Americans weren't very happy about this. And so, and in 1942, the War Production Board limited the amount of wool that could be used in clothing. But bootleg tailors continued to make the zoot suits, and white Americans considered them unpatriotic because they thought they were intentionally disregarding rationing. So it kind of led to a whole series of events where the Mexican-American youths in their zoot suits were targeted. And there was one situation where there was a murder where they were all having a party and one guy died. And the LAPD rounded up 600 youths, mostly whom were Mexican-American, And several of those were arrested and tried and convicted for the murder. But what happened was the media, it became a circus around the trial, and it led many people to believe that they were all gang members. And so these racial tensions kind of escalated. And then kind of for around about 10 days in May, June 1943, some US Navy servicemen kind of came. They were on leave and they came into LA and attacked all the Zoot Suit kind of youths, and it became really, really bad. And I just thought this was incredibly crazy because it was about like what they were wearing and things like that. And just, yeah, attacking their cultural identity and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, in the end, of course, a lot of the Zoot Suiters were the ones that were found to be kind of like guilty and not the military servicemen. But the military police did come in and round up and recall the US Navy servicemen, and then it stopped from there. And by the 1950s, kind of the Zoot Suit kind of just went out of fashion, just kind of, you know, people just stopped wearing them. But if you look at pictures of them, they're pretty incredible.
They're like, awesome. They're so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They just like, you know, you can imagine kind of walking down the street and seeing a whole bunch of like amazing looking youths wearing these oversized suits. They just look incredible, you know.
And they're often in quite a bright colour.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so fantastic. Such a dark history, though.
Yeah, I was quite, like, surprised because I just was, like, thinking about the nylon riots and, you know, to me that was kind of like, whoa, you know, stockings, people just going crazy for wanting something. But this is, like, something that was really serious that was based, you know, on racial, you know, topics and, yeah, and just, yeah, people being dicks.
It's baffling how much like fashion and things that are supposed to be fun can become so heavily politicized and racialized and you just think about like even things like hairstyles and like the way that black women are often treated differently for how they wear their hair, or like the like up until really recently the debates about like what is like professional looking, and it's so racialized, eh?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And you know, like we think about kind of like artists or visual artists being political, but you know, there's a lot of designers that are also political. You know, we've spoken about Rick Owens and his military style, and we know like Vivienne Westwood was very political, and you know, I think it's really important to be able to bring that to people who may not always be, you know, reading the paper or something, but bringing it in a different way, you know?
Totally. Do you think the Zoot Suit's going to come back?
I reckon it should.
You reckon it's on your ends?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, like, you know, if you think of Northern Soul and stuff like that, you know, they have wide leg pants and that sort of thing, but like that would be really cool if there was kind of like a revival of the Zoot Suit in that kind of way. But you know, when you think about like there's some post dystopian kind of movies and things where they kind of their costumes end up being 1950s. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I kind of feel like Zoot Suits would be, you know, that could be something, you know, but then would we have enough fabric post-dystopian, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Interesting to think about. I mean, I reckon they should come back too. They're just great. Yeah.
I just like the size of the pants. Like, it's just kind of crazy. Like, imagine how big the pockets are. You wouldn't need, like, a briefcase or anything. You could probably just put your laptop in your pocket because it would fit down the side of your roof.
Awesome. Yeah, that is a laptop-sized pocket. Yeah, for real, for real. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Penny. We'll catch up with you next week. Have a lovely weekend.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, bye. Penny.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.